Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
Everything.
It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today we're going to talk all about those uninvited little guests that you would prefer not to show up at your front door. Yeah, that's right, folks. It's all about rodents. We're going to talk about mice, rats, squirrels, snakes. What about alligators, or how about bats? What we do to encounter one of those little critters, and of course, what not to do. We have the experts here today to tell us the do's and the don'ts when it comes to dealing with those little critters here in Florida. It's that and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection, since I got tongue-tied. Right, Sharon?
That's right. And we're happy that we have with us today Patrick McDonald, founder of McDonald Pest Control, which opened in 1996. Patrick is licensed for termite fumigation, general household pest control, lawn and shrub pest control. Whoa, wow. I think that about covers everything in the pest control industry. I like his mission statement, which is to provide the best service with the best products. That's good. But with him today is Dennis Cisterna. He's the account manager at McDonald Pest Control. And Dennis has been in the pest control business for almost 30 years here in the Pinellas County area. He loves problem solving. He's a professional, personable, and extremely knowledgeable in the industry. And as a matter of fact, he's able to answer any question you might have regarding bugs, and unwanted urban critters, and even goes as far as identifying their poopies.
They're poop experts.
Yes, they are. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. So, all right, so tell me, what does McDonald Pest Control specialize in?
Well, I'd like to talk about pest control. We talk about ants, roaches, bed bugs, rats, raccoons, termites, and even armadillos. We can talk about pest control and poop because you want to know what that is that's on the kitchen counter or the windowsill or that little ooze going across the driveway.
So you guys were talking earlier, and you're telling me that you guys actually study poop, right?
They study rodent poop.
We talk about these, you know, and their poop is long and cylinder-like, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Pointed or a blunt end. You know, we have to identify the species.
I know.
Since we can't see the creature.
What's the difference between a roach and a palmetto bug? I mean, there's a lot of northerners that come down here, and they're always looking at the roaches and palmetto bugs, and frankly, to me, they're still nasty little...
Well, it makes it sound better to say palmetto, since that's a palm tree.
When you're talking to your guests from out of town, the palmetto bugs are inside and the roaches are outside.
I've had those big palmetto bugs inside. What are you talking about?
So what is the difference, though?
Really, the letter R is the difference because they're all roaches. And the palmetto bug is actually an American cockroach and often confused for the Australian cockroach. Remember, it's the Australian cockroach that flies across the room. And the American cockroach or the palmetto one's the one that falls down out of your palmetto bush in the front yard.
The Australian has wings.
They both have wings. Oh, okay. But one will land on your shoulder, and another one will fly from the ground up to your shoulder.
I had one chase me one time.
And that too.
Literally. I mean, it flew and it chased me.
Those were the chasing roaches.
Are they smart?
Those are the ones that wear sneakers. All right. We have a lot to talk about today, you know, as far as the urban unwanted critters, the possums, the armadillos. We get into the roaches and the bats and the bed bugs. But let's start with the bats because that's kind of really gross. But you specialize in bat control. How does a house get infested with bats to begin with? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, bats are looking for an opportunity. They have three basic requirements: food, shelter, and water. And as we approach the mating season, which is coming up again in this spring, the bats are looking for harborage. They like to nest in your attics. They like to nest in your eaves. They're looking for a quarter-inch gap, crack, crevice, or hole in the fascia, soffit, attic eaves. They're looking to your front door, your side door, your sliding glass door. They can fly right in your door at night if you're leaving the doors and windows open. Also, make sure you have screens on those windows or those openings around the house. But it's important to maintain those edges of the house where you have water damage, and the bats can come up there, and they're just looking for an entry point, not unlike a rat. They're just looking for an entry point.
Are they dangerous?
Bats can be dangerous, but we got to look at the positives. A bat's going to eat its whole body weight in one night. So let's think about the good things. Bats are scarier than anything else.
Now, bats, are they popular in Florida?
Bats are real popular in Florida if you don't like bugs.
Well, bats are part of the ecosystem. They're probably protected that way, too, right?
I have a stat on that. And, you know, the only mammal that can fly is the bat.
Right.
Okay. There was a study done in Texas on one particular colony, and they estimated that that colony of bats would eat, are you ready for this? 500,000 pounds of insects per evening.
So if you got
got
cockroaches in your house, bats are a good thing, right?
Yes, they'll eat roaches.
I mean, you got
palmetto bugs.
Any bugs, right? I mean, they have a awful smell, like urine smell, correct?
Right. Well, they're fecal matter. Talking about poopies.
Mm-hmm. Poopies.
Their fecal matter is bat dung. It's called bat dung. As a matter of fact, I have another stat on bat dung. It's used widely in the cosmetic industry.
Oh, really?
Thanks for that, Dennis.
So do you have a little bat dung on your face here?
None. None.
Actually, most...
I don't know. Bat dung free.
That bat dung looks good under those eyes.
Are you ready for this stat?
No.
It's used in mascara.
Ooh.
Okay. And that's a fact. So
I just wish they make them longer and thicker.
All right. So somebody gets bats. How do you get rid of them?
Good question. How do you get rid of bats? You've got to find the entry points, and you begin to close off the entry points while you're providing an escape valve for the bats to naturally go out and feed every night. So this time of year, after August 15th, bat season starts again, or bat season removal season begins, and you create an opportunity for the bats to leave and not re-enter the house. And if you have to, sometimes you have to go in and take them out. If there's so many and you can't provide a proper exit for them, the bats, which could be kind of scary because you want to wear protective clothing, protective gloves and protective facial gear.
So bats pretty much at nighttime, they go out and they fly and they're
nocturnal, I guess.
Right. And they go do whatever they're going to do. So at that point, you got to be able to block that reentry hole, correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
And if you do that, they're going to fly to the house, but they're not going to be able to get back in.
Exactly. They're going to have to find a new home.
Uh-oh. So.
And that's okay, but if it's not your house and McDonald Pest Control is taking care of it, you're going to be bat-free.
So you're just going to go from one house to the next, right?
We're looking for that kind of door-to-door business.
It's called job security.
Yes, I know. I think you have that here in Florida. So just kind of regressing back to what we were talking about, the rodent poop. So how do you study the different types? I mean, how do you go about identifying this? Because that's a part of your job.
Do you guys like have a degree in rodent poop?
Well, entomology would be a...
I hear you. That would be the study of rodent poop.
But part of our inspection is the attic, which there's most things we find are in an attic that would be a problem in a home. So, if we find fecal matter in the attic, we have to distinguish, is it a mouse? Is it a rat? Is it another rodent? A squirrel?
Is it a squirrel?
Interesting.
Fecal matter could have blunt edges.
Well, the fecal matter is what helps you identify the rodent.
Correct.
Now, what about rats and mice? I mean, how do you even know if you've got a rat or a mice? I mean, what does somebody need to look for in their house, especially like late at night? You hear something crawling around in your attic, or you feel like you're hearing something going on.
Most customers don't follow me into the attic, Mike.
No, I know.
But I like to take pictures because I'll take a picture of you before I even enter your attic. So any picture after that, they know it's your house. Okay, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we look for entry points underneath your insulation because they want to be in a climate condition like yourself, where it's cool in the summertime. They're underneath your insulation. If it's warm and it's cold in the attic, they want to still be underneath your insulation. So there's tunnels, as we call it, and they tunnel and nest inside your attic. And the navigation system of a rodent is their fecal matter or their urine. So that's how we trace it down as to, but the first line of
So defense. an average Joe out there, what's he going to look for to see if he's, I mean, is it going to be the fecal matter, little pellets?
Yes.
But
you can tell if it's old fecal matter or new, if it's...
Like if it's hard versus if it's soft?
Exactly.
Right. When you're touching the poop, it's like kind of...
So you got to touch it. All right.
I'm not touching it.
I'm just going to call McDonald Pest Control. I'm leaving
there
that poop alone. All right. So in Florida, we have a lot of squirrels, raccoons, possums. I think we have armadillos here as well. And sometimes they can be a nuisance. So how do you prevent them from entering your home?
Well, the important thing, it's kind of like mother taught you to clean up your bedroom every day before you went to school. Well, as a homeowner, you need to clean up your yard every day. You need to pay attention to the environment where maybe an unwanted intruder could hang out around your house, and that could be a raccoon, a rat, a squirrel, possums, armadillos. So you want to keep the landscape clean and cut out 18 to 24 inches around the outside, the perimeter of your house. You don't want to create an environment for ants and roaches that can thrive in that environment also. So keep the perimeter of your house clean. Keep mulch to a minimum. So that would help reduce the opportunity for ants and termites, along with rodents, raccoons, squirrels, possums, or armadillos. Now, the outside of your house, again, if you're paying attention to your soffits and eaves, I talked about the soffit and eaves where bats are getting in, and rodents, they love to climb up your house. They're going to climb up that vinyl siding. They're going to climb up the gutters, the downspouts. They mm-hmm. can crawl up the brick, the outside of your house, that vinyl siding, the painted surface, the textured stucco surface of your house. They get right on your soffit and fascia, and they can chew right through those rotten corners where the water damage is.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right. I'll tell you a little story. We had an office building that we were having the roof replaced, and the roofer wasn't very good. I won't mention his name, but he took the roof off. And it was off for, probably a good portion of the day. Well, during that period it was off, a squirrel had gotten inside the attic area. And then when he installed the roof over top of it, when he dried it in, we didn't know it until about maybe a week to 10 days afterwards when we had these, giant flies. Didn't see any fecal matter, but giant flies and a horrific smell. So, I mean, what do you do in a situation like that? I mean, if you know there's something stuck up there, can you trap it?
Well, if it's stuck up there and you got flies and a smell, it's probably moving too
far. Sorry, too late.
It's already too late.
But follow your nose.
Yeah. Did you look for the fly poop? Or?
No.
Imagine that would be tiny.
I have an interesting stat on rats. You know, there was a project and a book written that was called The Rise of Rats. And one pair of rats can produce, over a three-year period, a half a billion offspring.
Oh, really?
One pair. Okay.
Wow. Boy, they're
active, pretty active.
They're active.
Depending on what kind of rat there is, they're you know, it is.
Dirty rat?
There's 6 to 12 per litter.
That's okay. Good. I like it.
They mature after 4 or 5 weeks. And
then that's all they do is eat. And
since 2015, there's been an 86% callback rate for rodent activity in Pinellas.
Wow.
From 2015 to 2016.
Interesting.
86% increase.
That's amazing.
Tommy, I know you got somebody on hold for us. Mary, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air live. What's your question?
Hi, everybody. Bugs. I hate bugs, roaches, bats, bed bugs. It really has become often that you find bed bugs in hotels. Now, I'm paranoid every time I go into a hotel, even if it's a clean hotel. You know, you still get paranoid laying on that bed or putting your suitcase on the bed. Is there any way of detecting them or any, like, portable machine you can buy?
I always bring a flashlight.
Well, a flashlight's the best tool, and today you can go to Home Depot or Lowe's, and for $15, you can buy one of the best flashlights ever made. You can buy a flashlight that we, the pros, are using. I look at flashlights today, and I look at the lumen powers. So I'm buying flashlights that are 250 to 500 lumens, maybe 1,000 lumens. And these are the brightest of lights. And the important thing is that you start at the corners of the bed and pull the sheet back one layer, the bed cover, the sheet, and the mattress cover, each layer, and you're inspecting it with your flashlight. You're looking at the cording of the bed carefully on each corner and following it up to the next corner and looking at the cording, looking at the mattress. You're looking at the mattress sheet cover and the bed itself. You're looking for blood stains. You're looking for bed bugs. And, yes, you can see what bed bugs are. You can
look but dry blood is not going to be red. It's going to be like a brown stain.
Dark
it's
brown.
It's going to be a brown stain. That's correct. You're looking for
poop. They have bed bugs.
That's right.
They have bed bugs in there, or the last occupant or guest was murdered, right?
Well, hopefully,
that's
hopefully
not very
you're not
going to
encounter that kind of poop.
It won't be that much, I hope.
But what is the flashlight doing? It's not drawing them out.
It's going to give you a better field of view, so you don't have any shadows.
Make sure you got your contacts on, too, Mary. You wear contacts, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
and you're looking all the way. Lift up the mattress. Look underneath the mattress, okay, and all the way around. Look into the corners of the bed frame as carefully as you can. Look around the headboard. You're just looking for something conspicuous that you wouldn't want in your house. And if you don't feel comfortable, ask for another room. Then rinse and repeat.
But if you ask for another room, is it most likely that that room's going to have it too, and this one does?
I think I would go down there and ask for another hotel, you know.
That's probably what I would do.
I mean, I wouldn't stick around because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but if you get infested with bed bugs from a hotel, you bring it back to your house.
That's correct.
Right?
You might. Anything's possible, right?
I mean, we had a complex, and I won't mention the name, but it was 430 units, and it started with one infestation of one unit. We ended up with half the complex infested with bed bugs.
That's correct.
I mean, it got to a point where we were fumigating buildings at a time. It was just unbelievable on how quick those little critters kind of...
Well, what's unique about McDonald's Pest Control, Mike, is that in situations like that, we're probably... I consider Patrick the godfather of the bed bug industry because he uses what we call heat treatment. He also has a canine inspection that's available, meaning...
So you got dogs that sniff out bed bugs?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that existed.
Wow. Yes.
Wow. So, I want you at my house.
Well, for peace of mind, we'd be glad to come out there and do that for
you. My hotel. I'll bring you to the hotel.
All right. Inspecting the room before I check in.
And as far as fumigation goes, instead of doing the building, Mike, we can do one room, we can do the whole condo or the whole home. And it's an instant kill. It's a 24-hour process, and you're sleeping there that night.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
All right, Mary. Well, I hope you don't get bed bugs, and I hope we answered your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right. Thank
okay,
you,
Tommy, I think we have another caller on the line. Rebecca, hi. This is the Ameritech Connection. You have a question?
Hi, guys. Yes,
hi, Rebecca.
I do.
Hi.
So I built my home a couple of years ago, and the problem's gotten a lot better, but it's still, I have small children, and mm-hmm. it seems every time we go out in the backyard to play, we come across a water moccasin. And, ooh. Yeah, it was a lot worse. And it's gotten a lot better. And I know we built in their territory and all, but I bought Snake Away, and I was wondering if that stuff really works.
I have not heard of that.
Snake Away, yes. Basically, it's mothballs, okay? Snake Away is...
Is that why it smells so bad?
That's correct.
Yes.
But they don't have a longevity. It will keep a snake from crossing that odor, okay? But it doesn't have any longevity. It's got to be a monthly thing that you...
You may even have to do it every week.
So basically, you could take a bunch of mothballs instead of buying Snake Away and just throw them in the backyard, right?
Well, the mothballs are going to dissipate a lot faster.
You've got granules, you've got crystals and balls, and whether you're buying it in a bottle at the Snake Away store, whether it's the True Value, Home Depot, or Lowe's, or another store.
Boy, we're really plugging True Value, Home Depot, and Lowe's today, aren't we?
Well, I've got to be
especially
fair.
Now that you've repeated it.
We can talk about Publix and Cash and Carry and the rest, but the mothball store. But regardless, the mothballs are just that. If you can't stand them where they are, the objective is to reduce the opportunity for snakes in the environment around your house. But again, you don't want your children near the mothballs. They're not safe.
No, yeah.
So
what do you guys do? Do you guys have stuff to get rid of snakes or water moccasins?
Yeah, that's called recommending you move out of the moccasin zone. That's my own opinion. Moccasins, you're not going to do anything to repel them or trap them any different than another trappers. Trappers are going to find them and remove them. We've relocate them. The objective is there's really not a way to prevent an opportunity for moccasins in your environment, but to reduce the opportunity, again, keeping your landscape cleaned and thin, not providing an opportunity for them to create a healthy environment. Remember, food, shelter, and water. Mm-hmm. Rats, roaches, termites, bed bugs, snakes, rattlesnakes. Everybody's looking for just three basic requirements, like you and your mom and dad and your kids next.
All right, Rebecca, I hope we've answered your question.
You sure did. You guys have a
all right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Keep listening. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Right, Tommy?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in over-treating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400. Affordable Work Orders Incorporated is based out of Palm Harbor, Florida, and services all the surrounding areas. Affordable Work Orders provides excellent handyman services such as janitorial, maintenance, pressure cleaning, landscape care for common areas in HOAs and condominium communities, and much, much more. With great reviews and friendly service, you can depend on Affordable Work Orders to get the job done right the first time. Our number is 727-709-4895 or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Affordable Work Orders Inc.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Patrick McDonald and Dennis, I'm going to try this, Dennis, Cisterno.
Cisterna.
I'm terrible at names. These guys are with McDonald Pest Control, and they're experts when it comes to rodents and bugs, and they're here to tell us the do's and the don'ts when it comes to dealing with unwanted urban wildlife here in Florida.
Yeah, so let's now talk about moles. What do they look like,
guys? Moles look like little black furry animals.
Rodents.
That was good.
With a little round nose and paws that can dig through your soil voraciously. They can dig feet per minute through your soil, and they feed on insects. They can feed on grubs. They can feed on earthworms, and you're most likely to find them in the healthiest areas of your yard, shaded areas, where you have a healthy earthworm population.
Mm.
Thank God it's not all the
rich
grubs,
soil,
because you wouldn't have any grass in that area.
So in essence, they look like a rat with a long nose.
He made him sound cute with a little nose.
Just a pink little nose.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
And they're as blind as a bat.
They're blind.
Oh, really?
So they just sniff.
They
must have a real good smeller.
They have a terrific smell.
Well, I mean, they are underground, right? So they don't really, no light there.
No, nope. They take care of all the mole crickets that kill your grass, right?
They took care of all the mole crickets.
Well, no. They take care of a lot of them, though, right?
They may, but not really. Earthworms. Earthworms are the primary diet of a mole.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And so you're going to find them in healthy areas of the lawn, and not to be confused with grubs, because grubs are not going to be the primary diet. You've got earthworms that are in a healthy, shaded area of the lawn, probably great irrigation because the soil's not hard and compacted, and moles love that healthy environment because there's a ready, steady diet of earthworms there.
Interesting. Now, we have a lot of different wildlife here in Florida, as you guys know. I mean, there's all sorts of, there's deers, there's alligators, I mean, the list goes on. But what about coyotes? You know, I used to get up at, I used to live in East Lake Woodlands, and I used to get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and do my run. And I would run across, I'd see coyotes all over the place from time to time. I was always told that if there's one, there's more behind you, or there's more out there. In fact, they kind of hunt in packs. What do you do if you see a coyote? Do you have any experience with coyotes?
Personally, my experience with coyotes is from a distance. That's a good thing.
That is.
The coyotes, yeah, they can run in packs. They're I have never seen more than one together. The coyotes are really, what would I call? They're mangy.
Yeah, they look like mangy dogs.
They're a mangy-looking dog, and
they're a little slim too.
Stay away from them. Keep your animal, your pet, your cat, your rodent, whatever you've got for a pet, keep it on a leash, and stay close to home, and don't go out in the dark. Whether you live in Palm Harbor, East Lake Woodlands, Ridgemore, these neighborhoods that are right near the wilderness, and even around East Lake or over here in Dunedin. They're out on Clearwater Beach, and you've got to be careful. These animals will take advantage of you and your dog, and they could cause some serious pain if you were bit, and who knows what that pain feels like to your dog.
Right. Plus, there's rabies and everything else that you got to worry about when it comes to
animals. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Tommy, do we have somebody on hold? Lisa, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're live on the air. What's your question?
Hi. You know, once in a while we have these big trucks that come through the neighborhood and they spray for mosquitoes. And I'm wondering if those chemicals are dangerous to inhale if you happen to be outside during the time they're spraying.
I would think so. What do you think, guys?
Well, that's a good question. The objective of the mosquito suppression is, number one, to create a healthier environment for you and your neighbors. And the important thing is if you see the trucks, go inside. There's really no reason to be out near those trucks. Mm-hmm. So I'd stay my distance from them. No, they're not going to be enough insecticide on you as an individual that should cause any harm to you. But everybody has a different level of tolerance, and it's not been measured before. So just stay away from it.
But at the same time, Patrick, I mean, you got typically government officials and the health department and the county that have these mosquito control trucks going out there.
Yeah.
And obviously, to control the mosquitoes for a number of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't there a disclosure requirement where, they're spraying and they should tell all the residents to kind of stay indoors?
I'm not familiar with that, not here in Pinellas County, nor in the state of Florida am I familiar with any pre-disclosure statements. Perhaps that's coming. That probably already started in California, but
it always starts in California, right?
When the truck's coming through your neighborhood, it's been more than one person who has made a request for services in your area, so that's the reason that they come out. So they're going to calculate the number of calls per zip code or per neighborhood before they're going to come out to your neighborhood and put down any products, and the products, those are professionals too, okay? They're using professional products. They're using them in a professional manner. And safety is a verb. Safety isn't a noun. So the important thing is everybody works carefully and safely.
Well, I would say this. Patrick's probably right. If you see the truck out there and they're spraying, go inside. You don't need to hang out and breathe that stuff. Okay, Lisa?
But that's a good question.
Got it.
All right, listen.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, so what about those bufo toads that you hear about? I mean, on occasion, especially in the spring and the summertime, I tend to get them around my house. Sometimes they get stuck in my garage. Are they dangerous?
Those bufo toads. Those are some nasty, big-ass looking toads.
Yeah, I understand that they can be very toxic to dogs, cats, but are they dangerous for humans as well?
Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, bufo toads were basically imported from Puerto Rico.
So they're Puerto Ricans?
Someone imported them?
The toads are Puerto Ricans.
Well, we have Australian roaches.
Let me just explain why they were imported, okay?
So we can start calling them Puerto Rican toads.
Yeah, if you like.
Right.
Actually, the other names are a marine toad, yeah. Or a giant toad.
Or a cane toad.
And cane coming from the word sugar cane. Okay, and that's why they were imported here, to protect the sugarcane fields.
In what way?
They would eat the mites and the insects that would damage sugarcane crops.
Right. Well, it's a problem here in Florida because you're always running across those big toads. They get in your garage, and especially if you're feeding stray cats and stuff like that, they're going to go after the food. So if you see one, I mean, typically we see them in our garage and we just sweep them out. You know, but they're big. I mean, they're
big.
Huge.
They look nasty. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're bigger than my fist at times.
They're about the size, 5 to 6 inches.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that a concern here in Florida?
Well, it mostly for dogs and cats.
Okay.
They prefer dogs, by the way.
No.
That's just a study.
Well, dogs tend to get right, you know, they're curious, so they put their face right in.
That's right. And they secrete a solution that is behind their glands, behind their eyes. And just by them smelling it or ingesting it, the kill rate is 100%.
Right.
Well, unless they get him to the vet,
unless
like ASAP.
Treated, mm-hmm. treated,
well, you know, there's a lot of small children. I mean, I had four boys, you know, and both of my boys, you know, when they were younger, they used to come home with literally lizards and toads and you sure. name it in their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our listening audience.
You have to have some big pockets for the beefalo toads.
Well, I know, the beefalo toads. But I think for our listening audience, if you have small children, you better educate them on those toads. Would that be correct?
That's correct, yes.
Because if they pick that toad up, they're going to secrete that poison on them, which could, you know, adversely affect them or possibly kill them, right?
Not necessarily a human. I don't have any stats on that. But yes, a dog or a cat, they ingest it. They're sniffing, they lick it, and they ingest it.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge and what I've read about it, if a human should get infected or in contact with that secretion, it's treatable.
Okay.
Interesting. Another subject here, which I think armadillos are really cool looking animals. I mean,
prehistoric.
Yeah, they look prehistoric.
But they're cool.
And they are.
Did they get imported from Texas?
Yeah. Or
that was a joke.
Or are they from Italian?
You had me thinking there.
Imported, you know, Texas being off on their own mm-hmm. Lone Star State.
But now there's a lot of armadillos, obviously, here in Florida. And, you know, you see them and you just ignore them. You let them do their thing and they kind of run away. They're typically not afraid of you.
Well, going back to the mole, it's the same. They have the same food chain. I mean, they prefer earthworms.
Right.
Really?
And earthworms are a benefit to your lawn because they irrigate your lawn. You know,
wow, I would have thought that they would have gone for bigger things.
Well, there's a lot more earthworms out there than there are. There's a lot more earthworms out there than there are grubs and mole crickets.
Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense. All right, let's just talk for a minute about what we're all a little scared of is those rattlesnakes, the pygmy rattlesnakes. And what do you do if you run across one? I know that you, you know, run the opposite direction. But especially after storms, you know, I see them on the property where you wouldn't normally, like right in the driveway. So they're pretty blazing.
You know, the most common snakes in Florida are the cottonmouth, the eastern coral snake, the diamondback rattlesnake, and the southern copperhead.
And those are all poisonous.
Yes, they're all venomous.
Well, yeah. Those are the common bad snakes
Correct.
In Florida.
Right.
Right.
The
pygmy... Well, first thing you do is don't go near a snake that you're not familiar with,
mm-hmm.
okay? Personally, anything less than more than a black racer, I steer or I'll walk 10 feet around that snake, or I'll find a broom long enough that or 10-foot long pole on a broom to push that snake out of my way.
Yeah, not vicious. They don't come after you. They're not aggressive, I should say.
No, snakes are not aggressive.
They're afraid
they're
of us.
They're defensive. Mm-hmm. Snakes are defensive.
No, but we have some communities, especially in the Pinellas Park area, where they get caught in individual garages, and especially the rattlers. And, you know, when they feel trapped, I mean, you're walking into your garage, and a lot of times they're in a corner, so they will lash out at you. So you got to be careful with them. But if somebody finds one in the garage, is that something you guys would do if they were to call you guys and say, look, I got some rattlesnakes in my garage, come get them?
Actually, no, we're not going to handle the snakes. We're going to refer that service out, but we're going to be happy to take that phone call. Yeah, Pinellas Park's got a high number of pygmy rattler reports in that area that I'm familiar with. We deal with a couple trappers locally that we're going to refer that business to.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. All right, Tommy, I think we have some callers on the line. Kathy, hi. This is the Ameritech Connection. You have a question for us?
Yeah, I do. But I heard you and Mike saying that you like armadillos, so I'm going to send the ones in my front yard your way. So some of your address. So
yeah.
you guys think they're cool, but they dig big holes all over my front yard.
Oh, no.
I know, but you got to admit, Kathy, they are cool looking, you know? I mean,
they're gross.
Yeah, well, in a prehistoric kind of way.
Oh, okay.
I think they're cool as hell. I can say that right now.
I said poopies, so I guess you can say that word. So what do you think? I'd like to know what to do about the armadillos. Yeah.
Well, armadillos, that's a relocation service. You don't want them in your yard. That's the objective. Trapping armadillos requires corralling. You want to corral the armadillos into an area that they're going to be trapped, and then we remove the armadillos. The armadillos can be like a repeating business. I can't tell you why they prefer one yard better than others, but I know what you're saying when you tell me you have them all over your front yard and they're returning all the time. You're lucky. That's what I'll share with you. You've got a lucky front yard for armadillos, and I can't say anything healthier for your lawn.
She's got a wormy front yard, correct?
Yeah. Well, you got a healthy lawn for armadillos. They love your yard.
Yeah, but I'm always filling the holes, and I heard if you put cayenne pepper down, does that work? Does that kind of shoo them away?
Well, I wouldn't discredit that, but cayenne pepper is actually known as a terrific animal deterrent. And, anything, just use enough of it. I guess you could, but be careful while you're using it because the capsaicin could harm you. That's the hot in the pepper.
Oh,
capsaicin.
Yeah.
Right.
All right,
Have your husband start fishing, Kathy, and then he'll be out there getting all the worms, and the armadillos will not be in your front yard anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but then he'll be digging in the front yard, so we'll look the same way.
Exactly.
But then if he digs too much, get some pepper out there. You know, he'll stop.
Yep. All right, Kathy, I hope we've answered your question.
Thanks for calling, Kathy.
Thank you so much. Okay. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in over-treating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey. What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me.
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Mitchell Insurance Services has been providing superior insurance coverage and outstanding customer service since 1971. We specialize in the unique insurance needs of community associations and homeowners associations all across the state of Florida. Contact us today for a free policy assessment to ensure you have the right coverage and are getting the credits that you deserve. Contact us today at 727-360-8190 or visit us online at mitchellinsurancefl.com. Ensuring your community since 1971.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And if you're just tuning in, our guests today is Patrick McDonald and Dennis Cisterna with McDonald Pest Control. They are experts, and they're going to talk about the do's and don'ts when it comes to dealing with unwanted urban wildlife here in Florida. So let's just start with alligators. How dangerous can they be, especially if they're fed?
Do not feed alligators, number one. Exactly. That's the first thing. Do not feed them marshmallows. Don't let your neighbors from New York or Ohio out in the backyard to induce the alligator into your yard. Don't let your pets out when the alligator's near your yard. Don't let your small children out in the backyard to admire the alligators in the pond in the backyard.
Yeah, and sometimes they come out and sun themselves, right, on the grass. So they could be out there for hours on the embankment, right?
Sure. Well, typically alligators, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're scared of humans for the most part. I mean, it's when the residents start feeding them chicken or marshmallows or whatever.
They lose that fear.
Right, they lose the fear of people, right?
Exactly, exactly. Wild animals, as a rule, have a fear of humans. That's the fortunate thing. So what you're doing to influence their behavior or encourage their behavior in your yard is only detrimental to the animal and your safety.
All right. So we have a situation where you got a homeowner, which we have all the time, especially in property management. You got homeowners feeding alligators. So we now have a nuisance alligator. Now, we typically would call a trapper and have a trapper come out and pick them up. But if you got a nuisance alligator, I mean, give us some instructions on what to do and what not to do. I mean,
well, number one, if you've got somebody that's responsible enough not to encourage the alligator, to keep an eye on it so that you can help the trapper, the licensed Florida alligator trapper, locate the alligator as quickly as possible.
So we could call you and then you would call a trapper for us? How does that work?
That's correct. We can help you identify the proper trapper that's going to come out and rescue that alligator from that homeowner's backyard or that association's pond.
So really it's McDonald Alligator Control.
He had to think about that one.
.com.
Yeah, exactly. .com.
You better hurry up and get that before somebody else
does,
right?
Yeah, I know. All right, so we've talked about roaches, bed bugs, bats, various other things. Just, do you have any other stories for our listeners to, you know, any interesting stories about wildlife here in Florida?
Well, wildlife, you've got to be careful. You know, you've got the capybara, which is the largest rat in the world, was introduced to Florida. I don't know exactly when, but I know there's a population in Alachua County, and they talk about those capybara that supposedly have escaped that environment and through the waterways. The capybara I know has been identified in East Lake Woodlands, Lake Seminole.
How big are they?
These rodents can grow up to 100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Are you kidding me?
They're a common food source in Central and South America also. They eat them. They harvest them for food.
So people are they a delicacy?
Yeah.
Well, have you guys?
I don't know if they made it to our table yet.
You study poop. You guys study poop.
Have you tasted them yet?
I haven't seen capybara poop yet.
God.
What about ticks and Lyme disease?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real popular.
Ticks and Lyme disease is a concern in most of the United States. Yes, we have a healthy environment for ticks in Florida. Fortunately, we're not the Northeast. We're not up the North Carolina to New York and to Maine, those states which deal with a real terrific problem or nuisance with Lyme disease because of their healthy and overwhelming deer populations, which the ticks thrive on. So that's a good thing. But right here in Pinellas County, because you don't have a wild population of deer that are creating a healthy habitat for ticks or a healthy food source for ticks. But
well, we do have a lot of deer here in Florida. I mean,
well,
you know,
there's some deer here.
I mean, they're not up north. They look like the oversized Great Danes. I mean, they're cute little things, you know.
Right.
But they're not as big as what you'd see up north, you know.
No.
We don't have deer season here in Florida, so then we can't be overrun with deer.
Well, in some areas, there's a lot of deer.
There's certainly a lot of deer in the wild areas of Florida, North Florida, Central Florida. You've got some
yeah.
terrific
not
deer
so
farms.
Much in the Tampa Bay area though. Okay. Right. All right, well, we have what we call no-see-ums, which I assume they are actually gnats. They're a real nuisance. So how do you get rid of them?
And those are those ones that, you know, I used to live on the water a few years back, and you walk out and you start getting bit by these things you can't see. I mean, what do they
call
them?
That's why they call them no-see-ums.
I know.
But
I
you
know.
Don't have to be near water. I mean, you know, I
you
also...
Because you no-see them, right?
Yeah. You. Well, and sometimes you do see them. Or is that a mosquito? I don't know. Go ahead.
Well,
is there a flame you can put out there to get rid of the no-see-ums?
Yeah, I suppose that's going to help. Yeah, the flame's going to discourage the no-see-ums. No-see-ums are a biting midge. They're in the midge family. And
I'm itching already.
Yeah, well, and there's not really a pesticide application that you can treat your home with, but you could treat your home regularly, and it would reduce the population. It's kind of like mosquito control. Your objective is to reduce the population around the home and create an environment not conducive to the no-see-ums or the mosquitoes.
Interesting. Tommy, we got one other call on hold. Kimberly, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're live on the air. What's your question? We just have a few minutes here, so go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it super fast. Okay, I came across one of these spiders with all these babies on its back. Now, how do you kill this without the babies crawling everywhere?
I've seen that before.
I've never seen that. Oh, that yeah. sounds
it's
really
so
gross.
It's so disgusting. Yeah,
I mean, it's sad. You kill the mother and all the babies come running out, right?
Yes.
You've seen that, right, Dennis?
Yes. Wolf spiders. That's how wolf spiders
raise their young. Oh, those are terrible.
Young.
They're big.
Yeah, they're big, and they have lots of babies.
And they jump.
Well, I guess you would just start, you know, doing a dance all around them,
that's
you know?
That's the first thing that I thought of. Dance. tap dance.
Yeah, you got to kill them. Is there any type of spray that you can buy that would just kill them? You know, because you're right. You know, you kill the mother, then all the babies come running, and they're like thousands or hundreds of them, right?
A vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, but they're going to live... They're going to live in a vacuum cleaner after that.
You can change the bag in your vacuum cleaner.
Interesting.
Well, there's a thought.
Well, since we're plugging everybody, go to Home Depot, Lowe's, or Ace and buy the best product you can
cleaner.
Out there and spray the heck out of them, okay?
Or you can call McDonald Pest Control Company at 734-0963.
Oh, thank
How about
you.
That? All right. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Kim. Thanks a lot. All right. We got a few seconds here, a few minutes here. What sets a McDonald Pest Control apart from other pest control
yes.
companies?
Real quick.
Well, I've worked with some major corporations, and the beauty about working with Patrick is that we custom make our programs to suit your needs.
Okay.
And you're paying for products and a service that you need, not necessarily you don't need.
That sounds good. Well, listen, folks, McDonald Pest Control number is 727-734-0963. Give them a call. They're a great
yes,
company.
Yes, they're a great company.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, Look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.